Welcome to this deep dive, you know, into safety protocols at Templeton Secondary School in Vancouver.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So you shared some documents with us outlining, you know, all their procedures for fire drills, earthquakes, and kind of other, you know, emergency situations.
Yeah, it looks really thorough.
Yeah. So we're going to go through them and yeah, just kind of break it down for you.
Nice.
So you can feel confident about what to do in any situation, right?
Right.
What I thought was really interesting was that they seem to go beyond just like the nuts and bolts of, you know, actual emergency response.
Right.
And they've got this this real commitment to inclusivity.
Yeah.
Especially for students with diverse needs.
Absolutely.
And it really shines through.
Yeah, it does.
Like in everything they do.
Yeah.
For example, this life skills program that they've got.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So that program really focuses on communication, functional academics, and those all important life skills that we need. And they even offer work experience where it's appropriate for the students.
Oh, wow.
And when they finish the program, they get this Evergreen certificate, which is a fantastic way to recognize their achievements and, you know, prepare them for life after graduation.
That's great.
It's a really great program.
Yeah. I noticed that they mentioned that some students might even qualify for support from Community Living BC.
Yes.
Or CLBC, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like they're really focused on ensuring that, you know, students have resources,
mm-hmm.
even after they leave Templeton.
Yeah, I think it really shows their dedication to supporting their students, you know, beyond just the classroom.
Yep.
It's a very holistic approach.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So speaking of, you know, well-being and safety.
Yeah.
There's a fire drill happening today.
Oh, wow.
January 8th. 2025.
Talk about timely.
I know. It's like they plan this deep dive with us.
That's amazing.
So why don't we just jump right into it and walk through those procedures step by step.
Okay, sure.
So what happens when that alarm sounds?
Well, when that fire alarm sounds, teachers, they guide their students to the nearest fire exit. And the first two students hold the door open for the rest of the class to follow.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, just those small efficiencies that they've thought of to help with the situation.
It's like a well-rehearsed dance.
It is.
Everybody knows their part.
Yes.
Do they address students with mobility issues?
Yeah.
Or those who need extra assistance during evacuation?
Absolutely. The staff are instructed to assist students with physical disabilities.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's good to see that they've paid attention to that detail.
Yeah. What about, I noticed that they mentioned something about staff needing to be aware of the locations of fire alarm boxes and extinguishers.
You're right. Yeah. They need to know where they are and how to use them in case of emergency.
Yeah, it seems like quick action in those first few moments could be critical.
Absolutely. Early intervention can really make all the difference.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed that they said that staff need to check washrooms.
Yeah.
And report to designated areas to make sure that everybody's accounted for.
Yeah, they really don't want to leave anyone behind.
Oh.
They have a very comprehensive system.
That's great. What if a fire drill happens outside of class time?
Oh, okay.
Like during lunch or a break.
Yeah. So in those cases, students are instructed to report to their previous block teacher.
Okay. So they still have that.
Exactly.
That same point of contact.
Exactly. It maintains consistency and makes it much easier to account for everybody.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It seems like they've really thought of every possible scenario.
They really have.
But, you know, fire drills are just one piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Another major concern, especially being in Vancouver.
Yes.
Is earthquake preparedness.
For sure.
And they seem to have that covered as well.
Yes, they do. They have two scheduled earthquake drills.
Okay.
So there's one called the Great BC Shakedown.
Okay.
That's on October 17, 2024 at 10:17 a.m.
10:17.
Okay. And then there's the big one at 2, which is May 2, 2025 at 2:00 p.m.
Okay. I like how they've got these catchy names.
They're very memorable.
For earthquake drills.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but what should you actually do when that ground starts shaking?
Well, the number one thing is to drop cover and hold.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, you want to find cover under a sturdy desk or a table, hold on tight, and just wait for that shaking to stop.
Okay.
It's the best thing you can do.
And then I noticed in the documents that it mentioned something about counting to 60.
Yeah.
After the tremor stops.
Right.
Is that to account for possible aftershocks?
Yes, because those aftershocks can be just as dangerous.
Oh, for sure.
As the initial earthquake.
Yep.
So you really want to make sure that you're safe and that it's truly clear before you move.
Okay. And then What do they evacuate, like in a fire drill?
Yes, very similar. Everyone heads to the designated assembly area, which is on the front/east field, and teachers will use printed class lists from My Ed to do attendance.
Printed lists?
Yes.
That's interesting. Why wouldn't they just use...
Well, think about it. If there's a major earthquake, power could be out.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Technology might not work, so they've thought ahead.
That's clever.
Yeah.
Okay, so they've also got this earthquake supply container.
Yes.
Which is stocked with all the essentials.
It is, yeah. Food, water, blankets, first aid kits, tools, radios. They've thought of everything.
Wow, it's like a mini survival kit for the whole school.
It is.
But who's in charge of all of this during an actual earthquake?
Well, they have a really interesting system in place. They've created these specialized earthquake response teams, and they each have very clearly defined roles.
Okay, now that's where things start to get really interesting.
Okay.
I think let's dive into those earthquake response teams and their specific roles in part two after a quick break.
Yeah, these earthquake response teams are fascinating. It's like they've got a mini disaster management agency right there at the school.
Okay, I'm ready for this crash course in school-based disaster response.
Yes.
Let's hear about these teams.
All right, so first you've got the communication and logistics team. And they're essentially the central nervous system of the whole operation.
Right.
They're responsible for gathering and disseminating information, making sure everyone has accurate updates and instructions during the emergency.
That sounds absolutely crucial, especially, you know, amidst the chaos of an earthquake.
Yeah.
I can imagine clear communication could prevent a lot of panic and confusion.
Exactly. And then you have the first aid team. They're ready to tend to any injuries, assess the situation, and prioritize those needing immediate medical attention.
Makes sense. It's all about triage, right?
Yeah.
Identifying the most urgent cases and getting people the help they need as quickly as possible. And presumably they'd also be coordinating with, you know, any outside emergency medical services.
You got it. And then we have the school security team who play a critical role in securing the perimeter, you know, controlling access to the building, preventing anyone from entering until it's deemed safe.
Right, because in the aftermath of an earthquake, mm-hmm. you know, there could be aftershocks or further structural damage. You wouldn't want anyone rushing back into a potentially unstable building.
Exactly. They're also responsible for maintaining order and making sure that everyone stays safe and follows instructions, which can be a challenge when people are, you know, scared or disoriented.
Absolutely. Okay, what about these other teams? Shelters and utilities and damage assessment. They sound pretty intriguing.
The shelters team is tasked with setting up shelters.
Okay.
What's really interesting is they prioritize their efforts.
Oh, tell me more about that. What's their strategy?
So they start by establishing the first aid and command post areas, which are obviously essential for coordinating the overall response. Then they move on to latrines because sanitation is a huge concern in any disaster situation.
Of course, you don't want to create a public health crisis on top of everything.
Exactly. And finally, they focus on setting up staff and student shelters, and they even have a dedicated food shelter.
Wow.
They're essentially building a mini self-sufficient community right there on the field, capable of meeting people's basic needs while they wait for the all clear.
They've thought of everything. It's like a blueprint for creating order out of chaos. And I'm guessing that the utilities and damage assessment team play a pretty crucial role in determining when it's safe to return to the building.
That's right. They're the investigators going through the building, checking for structural damage, gas leaks, electrical hazards, anything that could pose a risk to safety.
So they're not just looking for, you know, obvious damage. They're doing like a thorough evaluation to make sure that the building is truly safe for reentry.
Exactly. They have a huge responsibility because people's lives depend on their thoroughness and expertise.
Yeah, it's almost like they're the heroes of the story.
Right.
Right. The ones who ultimately give the all clear signal and allow life to return to normal.
It's a great analogy. Now, while earthquakes are obviously a major concern in Vancouver, Templeton hasn't overlooked the possibility of other emergencies.
Right.
The documents also outline procedures for hold and secure and shelter in place situations.
Okay, those sound a bit less dramatic than a major earthquake, but still important to understand. Can you break those down for us?
Certainly, hold and secure is implemented when there's a potential threat in the community, but not necessarily on school grounds. It could be a police operation nearby, a dangerous individual in the vicinity, or any situation that makes it unsafe to be outside.
So it's kind of like a lockdown, but not as severe.
Exactly. It's about minimizing risk without bringing everything to a complete standstill. So students and staff stay inside, doors are locked, windows are secured. But in most cases, regular activities continue unless there are specific instructions from the administration.
So it's more about being cautious and aware of the situation than hunkering down in complete darkness.
Precisely then. There's shelter in place, which is activated in response to environmental hazards. Think of it as taking cover during a severe storm, a chemical spill, or some other external threat.
So it's like the opposite of a fire drill. Everyone's going into the building for safety. Close the windows, shut down the ventilation, and wait for the all clear.
You got it. And again, unless there are specific instructions from the administration, school activities can continue. The goal is to minimize exposure to the hazard while maintaining a sense of normalcy as much as possible.
Wow. From, you know, inclusivity and emergency planning to these incredibly detailed procedures, Templeton seems to have a plan for just about anything.
I have to say, I'm feeling a lot more informed and even a little bit impressed.
It's clear that Templeton has really prioritized the safety and well-being of its community, putting a lot of thought into anticipating potential challenges and crafting really effective responses.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts on, you know, how these procedures, while designed for a school setting, could be adapted for other environments.
Yeah.
But first, let's take a quick break to reflect on what we've learned so far. So we've covered a lot of ground here, from fire drills to earthquakes to those hold and secure and shelter-in-place procedures. Templeton seems ready for anything.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
But, you know, as we've been discussing, these procedures offer some valuable lessons that I think go way beyond just the school walls. Yeah, I think what's so fascinating about this deep dive is that while these protocols are, you know, tailored for a school environment, the underlying principles of preparedness, communication, community response, I think those are universal.
Right.
They can be applied to our homes, our workplaces, really any environment where safety matters.
Yeah, I'm starting to see those connections now. Like, for example, that emphasis on having a designated meeting point in case of an evacuation that's just as relevant for a family at home as it is for students at Templeton, right?
Absolutely. Imagine there's a fire at your home, and if everyone in your family knows to meet at the mailbox or a neighbor's house, it just eliminates that panic of trying to find each other in all the chaos.
Oh, for sure. And those earthquake response teams, you know, with their clearly defined roles, we could apply that same logic at home, right?
Exactly.
Like maybe one person is in charge of grabbing the emergency kit, another person handles communication with, you know, family and friends, and someone else takes care of the pets.
Exactly. Assigning roles in advance really streamlines that response.
Yeah.
And minimizes confusion during a stressful situation. It's about empowering everyone to be part of the solution.
And of course, having a well-stocked emergency kit is crucial no matter where you are.
Yeah.
Those essentials like food, water, first aid, supplies, a flashlight, a radio, copies of important documents. Those are must-haves for any emergency preparedness plan.
Couldn't agree more. And just like Templeton schedules these regular drills, it's so important to practice those emergency plans at home or in the workplace, walk through different scenarios, make sure everyone knows their role, and identify any gaps in your preparedness.
Yeah, it's not about being alarmist or anything. It's just about being empowered.
Exactly.
So for you, our listener, what does this all mean? We've gone beyond, you know, simply listing the safety procedures at Templeton Secondary School. We've really kind of explored the why behind the what. Uncovering those core principles that make these protocols so effective.
Yeah, and by understanding how Templeton has really created this culture of safety, you can gain some really valuable insights into creating your own emergency preparedness plan.
Right.
So whether it's for your home, your workplace, or any other environment, the lessons learned from Templeton can help you navigate the unexpected with confidence and resilience.
And we encourage you to revisit those documents that you provided, not just as a list of rules, but as a source of inspiration, a blueprint for action. Take what you've learned today and apply it to your own life, creating a safer environment for yourself and those around you.
Absolutely.
And if you go about your day, we'll leave you with this thought-provoking question. How can you take those proactive steps inspired by Templeton's approach to enhance safety and preparedness in your own life?
It's a great question.
It's a question worth pondering and one that can make all the difference when it matters most. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay safe.
Absolutely.